Welcome to the Starting Messy podcast, where chaos and courage come together to create magic. On this show, we're flipping the script on perfectionism and embracing the messy, imperfect journey of entrepreneurship. I'm your host, Misty Jane, a life and money empowerment coach for people who are obsessed with personal growth. My guests and I are sharing the truth behind what it means to start messy and why it's worth the leap. Because let's be real, all the best stories start with a little chaos. All right, are you tired of just dreaming and ready to start actually doing the damn thing? You and I need to chat. If you're an overthinker with big dreams, it's time to cut out the procrastination and this idea of perfectionism and actually just start taking action. I want to share with you the 4 Steps to Starting Messy workbook, designed to support you in turning your dreams into your reality. Deep dive into figuring out what you really want, pinpoint your blocks, get comfortable with discomfort, and start taking action while staying focused. Head to the bottom of this episode's show notes and snag your free download today. Grab a pen, get comfy, because it's time to take the first steps towards creating the life that you have always wanted. Hello, Sarai. Welcome to the Starting Messy podcast.
It just like rolled off the tongue.
I'm so fucking excited to be here. Holy crap. You're doing something incredible. This is going to be so fucking awesome, Misty.
I'm super excited. It's funny because I feel like I've been already doing it, but now I'm like putting like a name to it and it like is really pumping me up. But you're my first guest on this new pivot. So welcome.
I'm so honored to be here. Seriously. What better guest to get than me talking about starting messy?
Exactly. I was like, done, easy. Okay. So before we start, who are you and what do you do?
So I'm Sarai Spear. People probably know me as the Platinum Giraffe. I'm a hairstylist. I'm an educator. I've overcome addiction. I'm a mental health advocate. I'm just a human trying to find my way through this messy world, if I'm being really honest with you. That's it.
Yeah. Aren't we all?
Yeah.
So my question for you, and just to kind of kick this all off, is in what aspect, and actually pick the first one that pops into your brain. Did you start messy?
Oh, fuck. First one that pops into my brain. Literally everything I've ever done. Getting sober.
Yeah.
8 years ago, I didn't know what I was doing. And for, you know, 20 something years of my life, I had been in active addiction, whether it was an eating disorder or whether it was drugs or whether it was alcohol. But I didn't know what I was doing. I knew what my life was like as an addict. I had no idea what it would be like to get sober. And honestly, I think had I known, I probably would have dipped out. I probably would have been like, you know what? I'm cool. I'm cool staying over here in this really shitty, uncomfortable space. Because at least I know this uncomfortable space. I don't know what's on the other side. If I say yes to myself, or if I say I want something better for myself, do you know what that looks like? I don't know what that feels like. I don't know how to do that. I've been living as a dumpster person for fucking 2 decades of my life. And so the biggest one, I think, was for me starting messy is getting sober, which led me to starting my education. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. Literally, like I've told this story before, my very first in-person class was 13 hours.
13 hours?
Yes, ma'am. I'm gonna let that sink in. 13 hours, Misty. Yes, I know.
To hairstyle?
Yeah. As you can imagine, not everyone stayed.
Uh-huh.
You know, I went from being sober or getting sober, throwing myself into hair and really like sort of making a name for myself. And people in the salon were like, oh my God, you should teach. You're so good at this, blah, blah, blah. So what I did was I thought I have to pack everything that I know, everything that's in my brain hole. I've got to package it nicely and deliver it to these people. So they want more and they want to be around me and they think I'm worthy and they think I'm valuable. And so I did five freaking techniques. I did global blending. I did balayage. I did a color shifting. I did a rainbow placement. And I ended up doing some crazy braid work.
Wow. That's a long, it's a long ass class.
That's awful. It was awful, Misty. And you know what I did? I went home and I cried. Mm-hmm. And I said to my husband, I'm never fucking teaching again. I mm-hmm. thought I could do it. I cannot. I'm terrible. People left my class. It was dark when I had to get the models photos. And I said, I'm not cut out for this. I gave it a try and I'm just not cut out for this. And of course he's like, wow, you gave up after that. And I'm like, oh, fuck off. You weren't there. You don't know how awful it was, right?
Yeah, I think it's so interesting because I think that people think that like when people are doing something that it's been easy the whole time. My very first one-on-one client when I started coaching, I almost just completely walked away from the whole fucking thing. It was horrible. She hired me for money coaching. And every time I brought up money, she literally yelled at me. Like, I think that she wanted me to teach her how to make more money when that was never a part of the conversation. It was very fascinating. And I think that we all have that story, right? Like nobody, it's so rare when somebody does something for the first time and they're great at it. Like, is there anything you've done where you like did it for the first time? You're like, oh, hell yeah, I'm an expert. I mean, maybe something like,
but you know, I will say there's one thing that I've ever picked up immediately, fell in love with and was actually really good at it. And it's something that I really love. And it's sort of a form of therapy for me. And it's acrylic flow painting.
Oh.
Because there's no wrong or right. There's no structure. Mm. The messier, the better. And so the very first time I picked it up, now I do have my very first canvas and I look at it and I'm like, oh, you're so sad. But I was like, oh shit, that's good. Okay. But that's the only thing in my life, I think, because there are no rules and it's art and art is subjective, that I've ever been good at immediately. Everything else I've had to work my fucking ass off for.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's really interesting. Is that where you like just sit down and paint?
No. Okay. So you take a like acrylic paint and you can either like layer it in a cup, but you've got a canvas and you essentially pour the paint and then you like move the canvas around or you blow dry it. So again, you get the mental picture. You cannot fuck this up. So yes, I was good immediately.
I just have to say that I watch those videos on Facebook all the time.
They are so cathartic. And I watched so many videos and I finally was like, okay, let's give it a go. And when my first canvas came out, I was like, oh my God, it's really good. Let's see what else I can do.
Yeah.
But truly, other than that, everything else in my work in my life has been work. Everything in your life has been work. Mm-hmm. Like we don't just come out of the womb being good at things. We might be more naturally inclined. It might be easier for us to catch on to. But 99% of the population is not immediately fucking good at something.
Yeah. And I think so many of us stop even trying or even starting because we don't think it's going to be perfect or we don't think that it's going to be the way that we want it to be. And it makes me really sad. And don't get me wrong. Like it's hard, like you said, with recovery, like that, if you would have known, you probably wouldn't have started, right? Like, if I would have known that my coaching business would have taken as many years as it did to even start, I don't think I would have started. I'm glad I did. And I'm glad I'm still sticking with it. But if somebody would have been like, because in my brain, I was like, oh, in 1 year, this is in the bag. And then 3 years later, you know, but it's like, I think it's like walking in the gym, right? It's like just getting there is the hardest part. Just starting is the hardest part.
It is. Yes. And I think that so many of us look at the people who are on their chapter 25 while we're on our chapter 2. Mm-hmm. And we compare and we say, oh, well, I can't do it as good as so-and-so, or I don't know enough. And then we start getting in our heads and we end up just like paralyzed. And it's like, oh, I don't know enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't have enough followers. I blah, 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 fucking blah. And everybody started at square one, period, full stop. Mm-hmm. Everybody starts at square one. And a lot of times what happens is we'll start something, we'll dip our toe in, and then we come against a roadblock. We come against a challenge and we think, oh, you know what? I should have listened to my inner self. This is not right for me. I'm not supposed to be doing this because it's too challenging. Oh my God. No. Mm-hmm. Challenges make us strong. Challenges teach us about ourselves. And also for me, it's like, how bad do you want this thing? A dream, a vision, a goal, a want would not be planted in my soul if I wasn't supposed to go after it. And so is this a challenge that I can overcome? Fuck yeah, because I can overcome anything. Do I know how to necessarily? No, but you know what? I got people. I got a support network that I can reach out to. I can fucking join a Facebook group. I can join a coaching program. I can text my best friend. Like, there's so many things that we can do when we come against those roadblocks that are going to happen no matter how fucking long you've been in business, no matter how long you've been alive. This is called being human. This is part of the whole human experience.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're all of us are looking for some answers without putting in the work, right? Like, we're like, well, we need the answers before we do the thing. But it's like, you don't get the answers until you do the thing. Yeah. You know, and it's like looking back at everything I've done in my life. Like there was, I remember when I first started doing hair, which is insane to me. That was like 21 years ago. I've been doing hair for more than half of my life. But anyway, different conversation. You know, I remember not wanting to take clients. Like I didn't want to do that. I was like scared. And, you know, and if I would have just kept like not taking people, what kind of career would that have been? You know? And I look back at that now, like I get a new client in my chair, which I don't take new clients anymore. But if I did, you know, it would be, it's so easy. It's just like, you know, but that's been 21 years of repetitiveness, you know, and learning and making mistakes and learning from those mistakes. And I hate when people are like, well, I'm scared to fail. And it's like, no, you need to like you need whatever failure is. I don't even know if I like that word anymore because I don't even believe in failure. Like failure is just a lesson or a redirection, you know? But what would you say got you to start again? Like, so you did that long ass class.
Yeah, I did.
What was your thing that was like, you know what? Let me do this again.
It was a message from a stylist who said, thank you so much for sharing. This resonated with me, this one piece. And I'm like, wait, what? Oh, so people learn things from me, even though it was messy. And I thought it was the worst thing I've ever done. And then a couple of days later, like another stylist had messaged me and said, oh my God, thank you so much. I had a client with this exact situation. And so for me, it was that feedback of this actually helped me. Thank you so much for this. Yeah. And, you know, honestly, I know me well enough now. I know looking back that I would have kept going anyway, just because I have fucking tenacity and I'm like a dog with a bone. But in that moment, I wanted to shrivel up and die and never show my face in public again. But just hearing from other people, and it wasn't anything life shattering or life changing or, you know, it was this one technique that helped one person. And it was this balayage placement that helped another person. I'm like, okay, so maybe I can teach, but you know what I need to do is I need to refine. I need to start having a plan. I need to X, Y, and Z. So for me, it was just not that I need validation from other people, but it sure the fuck helps when you're putting yourself out there and you're creating something that is meant to help people. And you do get that validation that, yes, this did help me. Thank you so much for creating this. I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for sharing, you know, because left to our own devices, we end up getting in our own way and we will stumble and we will trip. And so just hearing from somebody else that helped me so much is really powerful, but don't let it like be your only reason, right? Like the external validation won't fix an internal problem. So just be careful of that.
Let me ask you this. Did you have any bad feedback?
I did. Mm-hmm. I did. And then I cried about it. Mm-hmm. One girl was like, it was the longest class I've ever been to. I really do not feel like I got my money's worth, which is hilarious because it was like $50.
I was going to say money's worth. It was a 19-hour class. If you didn't get anything out of
that,
that is
not even
you.
There. Oh, you left early. Yeah. So I did get feedback. I got feedback that was not negative, but feedback that I needed. And so it was hard for me to hear, which again made me want to shut down and quit, because don't pay attention to the three people that I helped. Okay. Pay attention to that one person who said it wasn't worth my money. Can I get my fucking money back? That's what our brain does. And so it's so hard to, when you create something, whether it's a program or a work of art on hair or a course, whatever the fuck it is, or art, when you create, you're creating from love and knowledge. And when people don't receive that, it feels like a little knife blade to your gut. Like, oh, you suck. You're terrible. You're not good at this. Like, don't do this. And really, that's not the truth. Maybe they weren't ready to hear it. Maybe they've taken, you know, fucking CMVS class and that's what they were expecting from me. I don't know. But when we encounter negativity, when we encounter feedback that is hard to hear, a lot of us go, oh my God, I'm going to put my suit of armor on. I'm going to shell up. I'm going to quit. I'm going to shut down and I'm not going to do it again because I don't like feeling uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. It's so I asked this question because I started my like education journey by doing meetups locally and I did not teach them. So I was very much in my limiting belief era of nobody's going to come and buy tickets to see me, but I am going to host other people. So the first one that I did was I met an amazing therapist and I did a boundaries class for the beauty industry. And again, the therapist did her thing. I just hosted whatever. And that was my first one. I was terrified. And so many people, it was inexpensive. I think it was like probably the same $50, maybe $75 a ticket, maybe. And it went so well. Like it went so well. I had people thanking me, like we need more of this, blah, blah, blah. One person sent me a message that, now granted, it was called like boundaries. Like it, there was no like, this might be something different. It was, you know, very clear of what this was. And one person messaged me and said, well, you know, I already know this stuff. And, you know, and I think she said like, maybe, and you needed to have coffee or like something, but that one, like, you know, I already know this hurt my feelings so bad that I forgot about all the other positive shit that everyone else said. And it's something I think about still often of how we go there. I think because we're so scared to do the thing in the first place, right? We're thinking of all the what if it doesn't work out, what if it fails? So we look for that validation that our brain is already thinking about rather than looking for the validation that we could actually be successful in the thing that we're trying to do. Because the 20 people that said, thank you, I loved this, literally got muted over this one person. And it's so frustrating. Now I could give a shit. If that happened to me now, I'd be like, well, you know, you could have went to Starbucks before you came, but whatever.
Like, you know. that's called negativity bias. Mm. And the more I understand about the brain, the less I understand, but our brain is hardwired to keep us safe. We all know this, that fight or flight, you know, cavemen, fucking tigers. But what it's translated into today is our brain likes to focus on the negative in order to keep us in that safety zone that it thinks is safe for us. And so when you get uncomfortable, when somebody tells you, I don't like this program, or this wasn't what I thought it was, or give me my money back, or you're a shitty person, we go, oh my God, my brain was right. I need to get back to my comfort zone. And the thing about comfort zones, we all know it. Nothing fucking grows there. We don't push ourselves. We don't push our boundaries. It's safe. It's fucking blah, blah, boring is what it is. But our brain is legitimately hardwired as human beings to present us with negativity bias first before we can celebrate those good things. And so that is why we zoom in on that. There was one person, the 20 people that you helped, it didn't fucking matter. That's because your brain is trying to keep you safe. And that's where people quit. That's where people go, okay, I'm done. Instead of saying, you know what? Fuck this. It was one person. Who gives a shit? I have 20 other people who were so fucking grateful that I did this. Mm-hmm. And that's what really, like, you'll see a separation of people who start things and people who finish things.
Yeah.
And that is the separation. When you run up against that negativity bias, you focus on that one person instead of the other good things. You allow yourself to go back to your shell. That shit sucks. That shit sucks. And we all fucking deal with it.
Yeah. And in so many aspects of our life, you know, I think, I mean, today we're talking about, you know, recovery or businesses, but like it can show up in so many different ways that I don't even think we always realize.
Yeah.
You know, it's so interesting to me because I always think back of like literally everything we know, walking, talking, like we started messy. Everything we do, we started messy. I have a 9-year-old. He's still learning how to brush his teeth. You know what I mean? Like we, and then when we get, you know, to be adults and want to do something that might actually matter in our lives or matter for somebody else, it's like we clam up and we're like scared to move forward. We're our own worst enemies with that. And it's all in our mind. Most of it is all in our mind. My favorite thing to do with clients is go worst case scenario, which not everyone likes this, but you know, I'm like, okay, what's your worst case scenario? And it's never that bad. And I'm always like, okay, what would you do if that happened? So say you're going to do a class. Well, nobody bought tickets. Okay. What would you do? You just wouldn't teach a fucking class. Mm-hmm. Is that literally the worst thing that could happen in your life? So because I think that we catastrophize stuff so much. Is that a word? Catastrophize?
It is now.
And
I sure the fuck do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you do worst case scenario? You do it?
Hi, Misty. We've not met before. I am queen of worst case scenario. Uh-huh. So here's what my brain does. So take, for example, I've got an education community, Balanced Stylist Society. Mm-hmm. So somebody cancels their membership. Here's what happens in my brain. It doesn't take into account they've been there for 2 years. They might be going through financial problems. What the fuck ever, they're over me. My brain says they canceled because you are not a good educator and now you're going to be homeless.
Mm.
In 0.0001 seconds, I've gone from, I'm pretty cool. I'm like a good educator. I love helping people to, oh my God, I'm fucking homeless. I'm homeless. I'm going to be on the streets. I'm going to have fucking nothing. I'm poor. Oh my God. I can't even afford dinner tonight. That's what my brain does. So yes, I'm a worst case scenario-er.
Do you still do that?
My brain likes to, but here's the difference now, because I've been through a lot of therapy and I'm really, really working on myself, is my brain still goes there, but I pull it back. I'm able to say, okay, Sarai, let's say you do become homeless. Are there steps between now and you being homeless that you will know are coming? And I'm like, okay, well, obviously I'll get an eviction notice, a foreclosure notice, all of these steps, because my brain bypasses those. So what I'm able to do now is I don't shame myself for going there though. I think I used to shame myself when I would go there and I'm like, oh my God, sorry, you're fucking stupid. You're fucking crazy. Like, stop thinking like that. Nobody thinks like that. And I'm like, listen, this is my brain. This is the brain that I was born with. And this is what I have to deal with for the rest of my life. So instead, I just say, okay, so we're homeless, right, Sarai? Are we? How about we backtrack a little bit? What is it, 6 months? How long do you think it's going to take? 6 months? So what's going to happen in the next 6 months? You know, so I'm able to identify it, recognize it, and pull back from it. I'm not always able to pull all the way out from it. And that's when I text a friend. That's when I'll journal it out. I'll do a meditation. I'll go walk my fucking dogs. I'll do some fucking breathing exercises because I know that I worst case scenario.
Yeah.
What about you? Does your brain do that shit too?
Oh yeah. 1,000%. I've gotten a lot better. And I really think, you know, my personal development journey, if you will, has helped immensely. And it actually, I was just having this conversation with a friend today because like I'm having like a low money month because I'm making a pivot and I'm not freaking out for the first time. Like I'm like excited and I'm like, it'll be fine. There's a sense of faith. So I am not a religious person at all, but I'm very much learning what spirituality means to me. And I'm realizing that it's actually necessary when before I was like, I don't need that. Like, it's fine. Yeah. So it's been really interesting because, oh, of course, like I will have, so mine goes in like roller coasters of months. So I'll have like a month where I'm fucking on top of the world. Everything's going to work out. Everything's great. And then the very next month, everything's falling apart. I want to burn it all to the ground. Like I have no friends. Nobody likes me. You know what I mean? Like I really go into like, who the fuck am I? And I'm the worst. But right now I'm not in that place. I might be next month, but we're going to try not to. So it's super, that's what I was going to say. Like, I'm glad you asked that, because like, I think that some people who don't try things or think that they can't do the things they're seeing other people do, that we don't think that way. Like, they think this negativity and we don't. Like, we have some ability to not have these feelings when we do have the feelings. We just get very curious about them, figure out how we can cope with them. They don't fully go away. And we kind of just fucking do it anyway.
Absolutely. I mean, and, you know, I think that's honestly one of the reasons that I do share so much on social media, and I share very, very vulnerably, is, you know, it's messy. Life is messy, and pivoting is messy, and growth and having a business and being a human is messy. And we're kind of conditioned to think like growth and shifting and pivoting and changing, it's all very linear. Mm-hmm. And it's an upward trajectory, and you will hit some road bumps, but like, you're going to be okay. And yes, that is true. But at the same time, like, I've hit road bumps where I'm like, dude, I don't fucking know if I am going to be okay. Like, I need to get my shit together. This is not how I thought it was going to be fucking be. I'm 20 years into my career. I'm so many years into being an educator and an online business and an entrepreneur, and I'm still fucking things up, and I'm still pivoting, and it's still fucking hard at times. And there are still times where, like you said, I love that phrase, burn it down, because I say that probably once a week. I'm mm-hmm. like, fuck it. I'm burning it all down. I'm burning everything down to the ground. Okay. That's my Roman Empire, by the way, burn it to the ground. But social media, a lot of times we can get into that comparison mode. We hop online, we're seeing the highlights, right? We're seeing their chapter 27, but our brain is not allowing us to see it that way. Our brain tells us, you're not as good as them. They're not struggling like you. No one else has had those feelings or those thoughts or those experiences. And it's like, no, bitch, we all fucking have. Most of us don't show it.
Yep. And not only are we seeing their chapter 27, but we're also seeing the highlight reel of chapter 27. There's so much behind the scenes that people do not realize. I mean, so much. Like, you could see somebody's income, but you have you don't see how much they're putting out. You don't see how much they're putting out in ad space or support, or, you know, or you could see somebody, you know, going on vacation. I talk about this a lot, but you don't know how they're going on vacation. You don't know if somebody paid for it. You don't know if they went into debt for it. So like, we put this like story and this idea around what we see on the outside. And then again, we think, well, we can't have that, or we can't do that. And we don't even know the truth of any of it.
Like, you know? Exactly. Our brain tells us these stories, and we fit it to what we want to believe. And 99% of it probably isn't fucking true.
Yeah. I think I saw a statistic. Again, I can't talk today. I want to say it is. It's like 95% of our thoughts are not true, and they're neutral, and we decide if they're good or bad. And that's something I've really, really been thinking about a lot lately, is because, you know, we do, like, we get any thought, anything. And it's like, okay, let's talk about money. Okay. So somebody said, well, rich people are bad. Are they? No. Are there some bad rich people? Yeah, sure. There's some good, like, you know what I mean? It's like, you get to decide how you think about something. And I think once you can really realize that things are neutral, and you get to add the meaning, and you get to add the story. I've really been trying to add the right kinds of stories. Because for a long time, the stories were always judgment. And, you know, if I didn't understand it, then I would put, the story would be negative, you know? And now it's like, that's amazing that they're doing that. Like, I get to decide if the story is positive. And that's a game changer, because putting that negativity out is hurting you and only you.
Yes. And it's really amazing. Once I started paying attention to that, how I realized I'm putting negativity out, and I'm also getting it back. And so it's like this perpetual cycle, right? It's that hamster wheel that you can't get off of. And it is hard to shift your thoughts. It is hard. It's work. It's fucking work. It's everyday fucking work. I am healing, and I will be healing for the rest of my life. I will be reprogramming my thoughts, my brains, my speech for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. But once you start to shift, you start to notice things differently. Like, you know, I went through yoga teacher training last year, and It wasn't because I wanted to teach yoga. It was because I really wanted to deepen my relationship with myself. I wanted to get introspective. And, you know, one of the things that my yoga teacher said was, like, our thoughts are not negative or positive. Our thoughts are simply that. They are thoughts. What makes them negative or positive is the stories that we assign them.
Yep.
And I'm like, wow, that one really took me. And I'm like, holy shit. It's so true, because a thought doesn't have an emotion, right? And if it does, is it good? Is it bad? I mean, put it in different scenarios and it could be bad when it, you think it's good, et cetera, et cetera. So really just understanding that, like, because you have those thoughts, you don't have to assign the same stories. And if you find yourself doing it, stop, just immediately stop. Like when I was reprogramming my brain with my self-talk, I would legitimately say, stop out loud.
Yeah.
So I find myself going, oh, Sarai, well, nobody likes you and you're fucking garbage and you're going to be home. Stop, stop, stop. And I would say something like, the sky is blue. It's 75 degrees out. And then I would go forward. So
you're stating facts.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Instead of the story that I've told myself, the lies that I continue to feed myself. And when I started shifting those, I started noticing a shift in, I don't know, people's perception, a reception of me. I suddenly wasn't so frazzled all the time. I didn't suddenly feel so fucking lost all the time. It's really these tiny little micro shifts in our lives that add up to these big changes. Like, truly.
Yes. Okay. I love that. So even with starting messy, right? Again, I think people think they have to, like, I get asked all the time, like, well, how do you start a podcast? And I'm like, you just start talking.
You fucking Google.
You just start talking.
You,
like,
yes.
Like,
yes.
It's literally, yeah, the tiniest little things. Like, you don't have, you know, you don't need hundreds of dollars for a microphone and you don't need this. Like, you just start talking and you can go on Anchor and you can put it out for free and then you started a podcast. Like, I think that we discount the tiny shit so much. You know, we think that we have to do this big thing. Like, you want to start a business? What's the first thing you can do to start? Read a book about it. Read a blog about it. Ask a friend who's doing it. Like, that, it can be as simple as that. And then just start the tiny things and let go of the fucking timeline.
Yes, God. Because
the
yes.
Timeline is not real and you're making it up, and just let it. That's where the faith comes in. Just let it be.
Yeah.
Because the timeline will kill you.
It will. It's totally something that we've assigned in our brain for, I don't know, success or validation. When I just had a coaching call the other day and my client was saying, like, you know, I feel like at this age, I should have done X, Y, and Z. And I was like, I get that, but that's not true. Samuel L. Jackson did not start his fucking goddamn career until he was 46. Okay. Oprah was like in her 30s or 40s. But after we got off our call, I hopped onto Instagram and the first video that came up, and I sent it to my client, was this, she's a singer and she had like a club hit in the early 2000s or something, or late 90s. And she was celebrating because she's like, my first time on the Billboard charts in my 30 year career. She's 53 years old. Mm. Her song was from the 1990s and she's just now getting the recognition. So throw your fucking bullshit timeline out the window, because it is not real and it is never too late.
Yeah. Okay. I want to shift this for a second, because somebody, and I've been through this, I have felt this myself, is like, okay, so you want to do something, but you don't feel like you have the time. You don't feel like you have the money. You don't feel like you know, all of the things. Let's go with money, because I think we've all been there, right? Yeah. And you just, you don't even start because of it, right? And I get it. This business, and I've been honest about this from the beginning, has put me back in debt, which is interesting as a money coach. You know what I mean? And that'll fuck with you too. Trust me. But there is like this faith that you have to have when you're doing something. And then you have to kind of find those, like we talked about validation earlier, you do have to kind of find those little like drops of something that you're going on the right path, right? Do you feel like you've ever had something where you're like, nope, I can't, like, this isn't going to work. Like this, whether it's financially, whether it's, you know what I mean? Or have you just had the faith in the thing and you just kept going and then it did work? Or in between?
But both. I mean, I am such a driven, persistent human because of, I think, of all of the things that I've overcome in my life. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make me fearless by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm one of those people that when I'm passionate about something, I'm all in. And if I can't take the $10,000 course that I know will help me, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to follow people that they follow and I'm going to consume their free content.
Right. And like then as I'm much as Google. Possible.
Yes. And then I'm going to listen to podcasts and I'm going to become slightly obsessive. Okay. All the way obsessive about this thing. I'm going to learn as much as I can about it so that I can start and I can fucking just do it. Mm-hmm. So I've also been on the other hand where I've been like, oh God, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can do this. And then I lollygag for way too long. And then somebody else has thought of it. And then I'm like, fuck, but you took my idea. No, this was my idea. I was going to do this, but I just didn't have the confidence or the knowledge or the products. And I see them starting it. And I'm like, God damn it, Sarai. So yeah, I've been a little bit of both. What about you?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because I remember when I was in a commission salon and then I went into a suite. And of course, I was terrified, which looking back now that I started the coaching business, I don't know why I was scared. I had a clientele. You know what I mean? Like I think in my mind, I was like, oh my God, I'm turning into a business owner. But like I had a business already. I was kind of already a business owner without being a business owner when you're in a commission salon. Yeah. So when I started the coaching business, I literally, this is so funny to me now. I gave myself a year. I was going to have 1 year to make it work. I had, I think, $10,000 in savings that was going to help me. I was prepared to not get paid for a couple months. And I'm now in year, this is year four. the first year I got paid very fucking little there. And I walked away from behind the chair for 10 months. So I was making no money for God, 6 months, nothing for 6 months. And I have worked since I was 16 years old, but I like knew it was going to work, like knew it, you know? And then, you know, a couple years goes by and it's not what it was supposed to be at all. So I went back behind the chair 1 day a week. Probably shouldn't have walked away, to be perfectly honest, financially, and found myself in debt again, but still with the faith. You know what I mean? And then now going into this new pivot, I'm realizing that all of the things that I've done the last 3 years have put me in this spot. This spot feels right. The other 3 years, it's not that it felt wrong. It just didn't feel the way it feels right now, if that makes sense. So I'm hard-headed. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if I want, yeah. Like, and I'm proving it to myself more than anything. But I do know when things need to kind of, oh, okay, what? Let's, you know, let's switch this a little bit. Like, going back behind the chair, I think I told myself, actually, I know I told myself, I think I've said it on the podcast, that it was because my hands were bored. I needed to make some fucking money, you know, like, but I truly believed that that's why I was going back. You know, I think that we get like this belief system in our head because it makes us feel better. And then sometimes we just have to look and go, no, it's fine. Like, you just need to make some money and you're good at it. That's okay. Like, you don't have to justify it to anything or anybody, which I think is another reason why people struggle with starting something or not starting something, is because they feel that judgment from the outside, you know, of, well, what if it doesn't work out? Or what if, you know, you go bankrupt or what, you know, whatever. But I think that we just have to want it more. You know, we have to want it more than what the outside world, you know, 100%. Says. So yeah, I think both. I'm hard-headed as a motherfucker.
Yeah. I like to test limits and learn my lessons multiple times. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, it's interesting. It's been an interesting last couple years because I have thought a lot recently about that, like going into the suite versus starting a business from scratch. I was not an educator before this at all. I just knew that I had something inside of myself that could help other people. And it's so interesting now because I've gotten all these, like, you know, aura photography readings and human design readings and, you know, astrological readings. And they all say that I'm meant to be a mirror to other people and that I will attract a people and I will completely repel people for that reason. And it's so funny to me looking back at my entire life, and I've really always been what I'm now, learn how to do the right way, if that makes sense. So it's fascinating. I don't look at anything as a failure because of that.
No. Failure to me is when you just don't get back up. And
yes.
I mean that in like the I'm done, I'm leaving this planet sense. Like
right.
When you die, or like if you just decide I'm done, that's a failure. You get back up and you pivot. It didn't work. You try something else. That's called a fucking win. That's called success. Mm-hmm. That is not a failure. And, you know, I think I just posted about this morning. If you look at people's lives and like, let's say these great leaders who've done things, or fucking Oprah or Obama or whoever the fuck you come up with. If you think that when they started, they knew exactly what their life would look like in 50 years or what their exact journey would be like, you are so wrong. And that is a mm-hmm. lie you are telling yourself. No, mm-hmm. no, nobody knows exactly what they are doing. And I think there's a sense of freedom in that. Mm-hmm. Like I have always wanted to help people. So for a while it was, I was doing hair. I would help people look and feel good behind the chair. And then I wanted to help people learn how to blonde better. And then that transitioned into, you know, I want to teach people how to do better consultations. And now I'm like, I want to teach you how to fucking live your best life. You know, so I went from fucking just doing hair behind the chair. Okay. Some bitch without a fucking college degree. And now I'm coaching other people how to get the fuck out of their own way. Mm-hmm. But every single step and pivot and lesson was necessary. And this isn't my end game. Like I'm going to keep growing and evolving and changing and pivoting, but it was all necessary. And there's no timeline on any of it.
None. It's the timeline is just bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to be 39 at the end of the month. And like, it's crazy to me to think that I'm 39 in any aspect, but I look at myself in the last, like, you know, 20 years, and I don't even recognize me 10 years ago, you know. And it's, and I will say too, talking about the personal development side, like that can be difficult too. Like that, like when they say it gets out of your comfort zone, it's much deeper than you think it is. Like, you know, letting go of past narratives, letting go of those beliefs that are actually hereditary. Those beliefs are not ours.
Yep.
And then kind of grieving that who you were. And it's very, very interesting. It's just, I don't know. It's just a very interesting journey. And I agree. I think I used to think all the like trauma and shit that I went through when I was younger was like a bad thing. And now I'm like kind of thankful for it. You know what I mean? I'm like,
I do.
I wouldn't be who I was if it wasn't for those things, you know? And you just look at it differently when you start to look at life that way.
Yeah.
Everything's a lesson. Everything's a lesson.
I love that you said that. I love, that is one of my favorite things to say is, everything. I don't believe that everything happens for a reason. What I do believe is that there are lessons to take from everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we can change the narrative. We can do whatever we want with those lessons, but everything that we do in life is an opportunity to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's what you want to do, what you don't want to do, who you want to be, who you don't want to be, whatever it is. Every freaking thing that we do that happens to us, that we participate in, is an opportunity to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start looking at it that way, it takes a little bit of that, I don't know, that stress, that pressure off of like, you know, I want to completely pivot and I want to leave the hair industry and I want to go fucking, you know, work with dogs. Like, take some of that pressure off, because you've learned a lot working with people. You've learned a lot about running a business. And so you do have tools to go and pivot like that. Everything we do, everything we've learned is for a fucking reason.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's really interesting because I think about people who constantly consume, constantly learn, constantly learn, constantly learn, and then never do anything with it. You know, mm-hmm. So there is this like, it's this block of like, I need all the information before I start, but they never actually start. So they just have all this information floating around in their head. And that's been something interesting, because I think we see this a lot as educators in the hair world, right? Like, you kind of can see very similar people buying the things and still kind of looking for that answer. And I had a realization in December, actually. I had a really rough December. It just was one of those mental months we were talking about earlier. And in January, I decided to quiet my mind as much as possible. So like, instead of going on walks and listening to podcasts, I would listen to, I love Andre 3000's new Wind album.
Oh my God, it's so good.
I know. When I first listened to it, I was like, oh my God, I need to be on mushrooms. And now I'm like, no, I actually like really enjoy this. But so I'll put on something. My rule now is like, I have to get quiet. So that can look like listening to music, but it can't have any words. It can look like taking a bath, but I can't listen to anything with words. It can look like just sitting and meditating. I don't love just sitting and meditating. I usually feel like I had to add movement to it personally. And what I started to realize is my brain almost immediately started working. It started being creative. It started like pulling out these thoughts that like turned into amazing content that was getting great engagement and like, you know, all of the things. And what I was realizing is that I was actually like suppressing my creativity and my genius by listening to everyone else. And now I'm not saying that having a coach or a mentor or things is a bad thing and learning. I'm always, always learning. But I think you have to learn and you have to get quiet and you have to process and you have to implement all at the same time. I don't think you can do just one. Like, do you agree with that? Like, it has to be all the things.
I know you guys can't see me, but I've literally been nodding my head since you started talking about this. I'm like, oh, I love a little bobblehead. 1,000%. I think Dawn Bradley says, addicted to learning, but allergic to implementing. And I love that term. I was one of those people that thought I need to consume. I need to learn how to create a course. I need to read this book on how to do, I need to know before I can do these things. And here's what happened. When I went to yoga teacher training, we had to meditate. And honestly, if I would have known that we were going to have to meditate every fucking weekend, I probably wouldn't have done it, because I was like, I'm ADHD, bitch. I can't meditate. Okay. I'm very high energy. And so when we started the meditation, my brain was like, you can't fucking do this. This is stupid. This is a waste of time. You have so many other things you can do. Over 5 months, what I found was I would practice at home. I would practice in the yoga studio, the meditation. The answers are in us.
Yep.
But we drown them out by consuming, because innately, we don't feel like we're capable of doing these things. Mm-hmm. And so we look to others for answers. And the magic is in these quiet moments. And I love that you said meditation doesn't have to mean chanting like a monk and sitting there in fucking complete silence. Okay.
Yep.
But meditation or getting quiet is necessary for us to grow. When we start getting quiet, like you said, those answers will come. Like, I can't tell you how many times I have sat at my computer and just consumed shit and then gotten frustrated and walked away, versus the amount of times that I'm like, I'm going to put on my favorite, you know, meditation track. And then I'm like, holy shit, this idea just came to me. I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. We don't allow ourselves the quiet time. And I get it, because I used to be running from my thoughts. My brain thoughts were very, very bad. And the stories I told myself were very, very bad. And I didn't want to be quiet because I didn't want to get sucked into that. And so it is work to get to the point where you can get quiet, but start by challenging yourself. If you take zero quiet time for yourself, give yourself 5 fucking minutes this next week. 5. That's it. That's just it. Just 5 minutes. You know, do that for a couple of weeks and then give yourself 10 or 15 minutes, but it's in these quiet spaces that you come out, your brilliance, your magic, your ideas, and you begin to not listen to that fear as much. Yep. Because if you're feeling something, it's planted there for a reason. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to be led astray. You don't know how you're going to get there. You have to trust in yourself a little bit, but you won't know until you try. And a lot of times we don't know until we get quiet.
Yeah. Yes, for sure. So now on the other side of that, recently I have been doing something with a friend of mine that has been a game changer. Okay. Game changer. Like I cannot even tell you how game changing it has been. So we both had listened to the book Change Your Paradigm, Change Your Life by Bob Proctor. Did you listen to that?
I've listened to it 13 fucking times.
Okay. So we're on fourth time now, and this is what I'm going to, did you do this with an accountability partner? Okay.
Yep.
So let me, for the listeners, let me explain. So what he says in this book is you get an accountability partner and you, you commit to 60 days of listening or reading, whatever we're listening, cause it's easier, to 30 minutes. And you're both listening to the same 30 minutes the same day. And then every day you discuss it. Now you'll go through the book in like a week and a half, cause it's fairly short. But you keep doing it for 60 days. So we're on like the fourth time listening to it. It has been, I cannot even say how amazing it's been for numerous reasons. Now the point is to study the information, cause a lot of times we read, I mean, you see behind me, I have tons of books. We read hundreds of books to try to gain new information, but we don't soak it all in. We're just literally like, oh, that's an interesting thing, you know, whatever. So we're on like the fourth time, third time. I think we're on the third time right now, because it's been like, I think we started at the end of February. And the amount of information that you like, it's like you understand some of it. And then the second time you understand it deeper. And then the third time you understand it even deeper. And then having the conversation with the friend, I realized that I had needed that type of conversation daily, like for my mental health. I have been in the best mood. I have been so energized. I like just having that little 15 minute in-depth personal development conversation daily. And I cannot recommend it to anyone enough, especially somebody who wants to start something new or actually learn something. Like it has been such a game changer, such a game changer.
That like, book, my good friend Tabitha recommended it to me and I blew through it. And I think I was driving to Montana and I blew through it. And I was just like, oh my God. So then I listened to it again. Mm-hmm. And then we ended up doing where we send each other our goals every day. Cause that's, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. part of it.
Yep.
And I can't tell you how much it helps to have somebody with you, to have somebody help you go deeper. To have somebody that understands, that wants to have these conversations with you, having that accountability. And that book, listen, there are a couple books that I really love. The Mountain Is You, Addicted To, Change Your Paradigm, Change Your Life, Think Like a Monk, and You Are Enough. Those are my jams. But the Change Your Paradigm, Change Your Life book is in a completely different category.
Which is free on Audible, by the way, for anyone.
And
listening.
Spotify.
Yeah. Okay. So it's an interview. So it's like no excuse to like, I mean, his voice gives a little drunk old man, but it's fine.
It does. I know. It's kind of like drunk Uncle Charlie or something. Yeah. You're like, oh, okay.
But it's super interesting because the first time I listened to it, I got some of it and some of it felt like quote unquote woo woo, which I think I'm going to stop saying soon. I say that, but I say it all the time. But again, by the third time, I'm really understanding a lot of it that I thought like wasn't for me. And it's been a very fascinating, you look at life very differently when you start to study a personal development book in that kind of way. It's very fascinating, but I agree. Do you think you could be, I already know the answer to this, but do you think you could be where you are if it wasn't for your support system?
100% no. Fuck no. I would have given up on myself many decades ago. I have just in the last couple of years started, and honestly, if I'm being honest, this last, I would say year, realizing how critical my support system is to my growth.
Yep.
Nobody does it alone. And I mean that. Nobody does it alone. What's the saying? You can go fast. You can go alone fast, or you can go far together.
About sprinting and not, yeah. And then, yeah, yeah.
But essentially, if I did
we're philosophers, obviously.
We're such great philosophers. Look at us. And we're cute. I really thrive on community now, and especially the community, the kind of community that I've cultivated that can have hard conversations with me, that can give me feedback, and I'm not instantly like, go fuck yourself. I'm like, okay, I hear you. This is uncomfortable for me, but I hear what you're saying, and how do we move forward? I could not be where I am and would not be where I am without fucking community. I wouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think that if you know, you're wanting to do something different in your life, you have to find the people that want to support you in that way. Because I remember when I did want to walk away from behind the chair to go all in on coaching, how many people were like, why would you, like, I don't get it. Why would you do that? And if I didn't have the other people that are like, absolutely, you should absolutely do that. I'll support you. I'll help, you know, I'll help you, whatever. Remind me who the fuck I am on the days that got hard. I would have never done it in the first place, or I would have tried it and I would have not stuck with it, or what, you know, whatever reason. And still to this day, there's the people, those hard months, those hard, you know, they're the people that I will go to remind me who the fuck I am when I don't feel like I am that person. So you have to find your people. And if you don't have that, all my people live in different states.
Same.
Well, not all of them. One of them, but she's like 2 hours away. Like your people aren't always going to be right next to you or right. You know, they're not always going to be your family. They're not always going to be your best friend from high school. You know, you have to find them. And that you can find them like via like DMs on Instagram. Like it does, you don't have to like fly across the world like I enjoy doing, you know, but you have to find them, and they are out there. Like true supportive people are out there. And you'll find some duds along the way, but they're out there.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, one of my really good friends lives across the pond, but you know what we do? We voice message each other constantly. We yep. FaceTime each other. And how did we meet? We met online. We met on Instagram. They joined my community. And then it's turned into this beautiful, supportive relationship. So you never know. And yes, you will run across people where you think they're your people, and then they fuck you over, or they show you their true colors. And guess what? Do not let that dissuade you from making connections.
Yeah.
Do not let that dissuade you, because it's going to happen. And here's why. It's a lesson for you. It's mm-hmm. a lesson for you to learn. People, I think, for the most part, are good. And people want to be seen and heard and validated. And we are hardwired for human connection. So if you're sitting there like, my people aren't out there, I'm too weird, I'm too this, fuck off. That's the old story. That's the lies your brain is telling you, because there are people who want to see you fucking win, who want to support you, who want to help you, who mm-hmm. want to be part of that. And we have to go find them. And that's, you put yourself out there, you send somebody a DM, you join a community, you join a coaching program, you put yourself out there. And yes, you might get rejected. Jesus Christ, that's part of life, okay?
Yeah.
So put yourself out there, find your people. I promise you, they're out there. It's taken me 40 something years to find my genuine fucking people.
Yeah, agreed. Okay. Last question for you.
Okay.
Three things that you would tell the person who wants to make a change or start something new. Three things you would tell them. And this was,
I have a million flooding. First of all, I have this on t-shirts for a reason. Fuck your fear. Mm-hmm. You are going to be scared. Fucking do it anyway.
We're all scared.
Yes. My God. if you've taken nothing from this podcast, yeah. know that I'm scared shitless. Misty's scared shitless. Fucking at one point, Tony Robbins was scared shitless. Like, fuck your fear. Be afraid and move through it anyway. Do it. The more you do things, the less your fear becomes. But I think it's probably always going to be there in some shape or form. So fuck your fear, first of all. Second is just start. And if you don't know what that looks like, Google.
Yep.
How do I start a business? How do I make a crystal chandelier? How do I fucking and consume free content and join groups and communities that are free, that give you research? Just fucking start. Because if you feel it in your soul, if you feel this vision, you feel this pull, it's there for a reason. And so it's your responsibility to fucking start. So fuck your fear, do it afraid, start messy. And then I would say, find a support system, whether that is therapist, a buddy, a coach, a mentor, whatever it might be, somebody that you can be honest with and that is going to be honest with you, even when it is uncomfortable. Finding support in just one person, because that one person will grow into a whole community of support that you didn't even know existed.
Yeah. And I would even just add, like, you can do it. If, like you said earlier, yeah. like if it, it is in your brain, it's in your brain for a reason, and let go of the whole idea of reality and logic. Mm-hmm. one of the things in the book that he says is he talks about like the Wright brothers, like them, you know, creating the plane that, you know, the first person to ever say, let's go to the moon. Like, that wasn't logical at the time. Nothing new is created with logic. So I would add that too, because that's, you know, something that I've been replaying in my brain lately, considering
100%. But all the great leaders in history, all the great inventions in history, movements were started with somebody having an idea.
That's
somebody
it.
Fucking crazy enough, with enough tenacity and finding the support and figuring it out, pulling the trigger on it. That's how shit is created. So stop sitting on your fucking ideas. Stop telling yourself these lies and just do it. Just yep. fucking do it, and do it messy.
Mic drop. Sarai, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, friend. This is fantastic.
I mean, you'll be on it again, I'm sure. So, you know. Once again, thank you so much for listening to the Starting Messy podcast. I hope that this inspires you to get out of your own way and start messy. If you like what you heard, please share it, leave a review, and tag us on social media. I'll talk with you on the next one.